Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is We Talk Productions, one of the few Black-owned radio stations, and you're live with the best mind in Black America, me, Sean Williams, and this is the Cutting Edge Show. This evening, I will be discussing the Black Boule. Boule means advisor to the king. The Boule has taken a sworn oath to maintain the state of white supremacy and to never let you know. In 1904, a Greek secret society was formed in Philadelphia by Dr. Henry Minton and five of his colleagues. The group was formed to bring together a select group of educated Black men and women. During the Great Depression, World War I and II, and the Civil Rights Movement, they took pride in having provided service and leadership during these times. By joining the Boule's exclusive select secret society, America's Blacks were offered advancement and et cetera in return for loyalty to its objectives. You can't just join the Boule, you have to be recruited, and you have to be what the Boule considers a top Black or upper 10th Black. Today, the Boule has 5,000 plus archons, male Boule members and their wives, with 112 chapters, make up the wealthiest group of Black men and women on the planet. Archon means demon, the kind that like to keep hidden. The Boule serve the satanic, mostly white, global elite. As long as the Boule conforms to the rules, the riches will be in abundance. If not, down comes the hatchet. Blackmail is part of the deal. Marcus Garvey's Back to America movement was in the early 20th century and was a period of Reconstruction. Garvey represented genuine Black leadership. W.E.B. Du Bois, founding member of the New York City chapter of the Boule, said, I quote, "The Boule was created to keep the Black professionals away from Marcus Garvey." W.E.B. Du Bois emphasized the importance to steal Black professionals away from Garvey because of Afrocentric organizations that articulated and captured the Black professional would give whitey no safe haven in the Black community. So the Boule, the remaking of the house Negro, was necessary to build a group of Negroes who had an investment in protecting the white system as produced by whites having stolen this land. This is post-Reconstruction. Taking away the articulate Negroes, now desiring to replace them with organized institutions to keep them away from self-improvement. So we find in the same period as the founding of the Boule, the founding of the four Black male Alpha Psi Alpha, Kappa Alpha Psi, Omega Psi Phi, Phi Beta Sigma, and the four Black females Alpha Kappa Alpha, Delta Sigma Theta, Zeta Phi Beta, and Sigma Gamma Rho was also founded around this time, and also the NAACP and the Ergen League. Du Bois was one of the strongest opponents of Garvey and was one of the people who was most instrumental in stepping on and stopping one of the strongest grassroots movements in this country. Du Bois, along with Alain Locke, the first Black Cecil Rhodes scholar, publicly defiled Garvey by calling him a gorilla any chance they got. Locke was quoted as saying, "We hope the white man delivers cause. We crushed a great Black thing, but we know he'll deliver or our people will attack and plague us forevermore." These house Negroes made a bet that whites would come out on top and give a certain percentage of these greedy Negroes, namely Boule members, the wealth they stole from Africa. The Boule don't believe in African self-reliance and prefer scraps that the white man gives them. The Boule is a Greek organization. There is also a book with some of the members in it. Dr. Daniel Hale Williams, who performed the first open heart surgery, Ralph Bunch, former UN Ambassador Arthur Ashe, Urban League President Whitney Young, Martin Luther King, Benjamin Mays, Carter G. Woodson, John H. Johnson, Maynard Jackson, ex-mayor of Atlanta, baseball great Hank Aaron, Tom Bradley, Dennis Archer, Bill Cosby, Jesse Jackson, Earl Graves, Douglas Wilder, David Dinkins, Lynn Swan, Al Sharpton, Barack Obama. According to Bobby Hemmett, underground metaphysician and occultist lecturer, the Black Elite Society based on Skull and Bones from Yale was chosen by the U.S. government, Illuminati, to run black neighborhoods. Bobby Hemmett also has something on YouTube that you can watch also. And it's, the name of it is Bobby Hemmett, Connection Between Black People, Secret Societies, and the KKK. Conspiracy theorist and futurologist Steve Coakley had this to say. Anywhere there are prominent professional blacks, chances are they're in the Boule, set up to keep blacks from segregating and improving themselves. The Boule pose as freedom fighters. The new world order is the old world order. The Boule works in concert with white supremacy so they can keep a grip on their people. The Boule encourages homosexual ties as initiation practices. This must be done to join the ranks. Bobby Hemmett says any kind of top-notch Negro gets together and they F each other. These perversions are cataloged and stored on record later if needed. These abuses may be used as bargaining tools in the ultimate game, which is capturing souls. These people promote dissension, hatred, etc. According to the ruling powers, people are objects that need to be controlled. These people are soulless, and they obviously don't have normal reasoning. So what it boils down to is this. White people needed to keep an eye on us, so they needed an overseer. And those house Negroes stepped up to the plate. Now, black people keep getting bamboozled and hoodwinked, just like Malcolm X said, and this is a serious problem. And what are some of the solutions you can come up with? Because we need to stop them in their tracks. If you have a comment or a question, call 516-531-9540 and press 1.
You know, Michonne, once our people get in a certain income bracket or in a certain level of their profession, and once they go over to the other side, they're not coming back. You know, what do you expect them to do? You know, their circle changed, their outlook changed. I heard you say Al Sharpton, Jesse, and all of them. You know, at one
right.
time in life, they're going to... Well, Al Sharpton always been a gangster. That is documented. He was a cop. He was a confidential informant, a federal one at that. So I'm not surprised when you... Some of the names that you spilled off, I'm just shocked that there is such a organization that is structured and its sole purpose is, now I'm surprised that Bill Cosby is on that list, but the Greek organization, especially the women Greek organization, that green and pink sorority, I forgot their name.
That's
but,
AKAs.
Yeah, AKAs. They're always doing something in the community. So maybe it's like individuals that's part of the Bolet than organizations.
Well, that's what they're supposed to do. They have to put on a front. And that's
okay.
A part of it.
You know, you got 5073 on the line.
Okay. I don't think that a lot of those sorority and fraternal members really understand what they have gotten into. Because when I read up on it, I said, I'm burning my Eastern Star shirt. Well, when I got, inducted into the Eastern Star, I did not recite anything. I opened my eyes to see what was surrounding me. And it was sort of terrifying to me. I looked like I was back over in a Greek mythology setting, the way they set stuff up. But, you know, it's always been rumored that Oprah, they say when they do these things, that elite society has sold their souls to Satan. See, it's all satanic. And it all goes back to the Rockefellers. And, you know,
to get
the average person to believe something like that, they'll probably think we're the ones that's losing our mind. And why has it taken so long for them to be put out in the open? My pastor is an alpha. And I didn't like what they had written in there about Alpha Phi Alpha either. And I'm going to confront him and ask him about it this coming Sunday. I'm going to ask him, does he believe all, and ask him, do you really know what your symbols mean? Because I read up on him, too.
Okay, yeah, first of all, they're not going to recruit you unless you're one of the top ones. So if you're not considered a top, and 75%, they said, of the black attorneys are in this secret society. They're part of the Boule. They recruit engineers, doctors. So anybody that's in a certain level or a certain area, they will recruit you. You just cannot go and, like, I want to join. They have to want you.
But they said,
to become a member.
Well, they said all those that were recruited into those sororities and fraternities are part of the Boule. They might not be the top ones. I just thankful that when AKA recruited me, I said no, because I told them I don't need you to survive. It wasn't something that I didn't want to follow a group. I wanted to be who I was.
Right. Well, but one of the first ones was the Sigmas.
Yeah, I know.
And they are like the major players.
Yeah, but I still think they don't really know everything about their organization. They know
because some of them they have to be kept secret from them, because they said the higher level ones, because they have a hierarchy, and the higher you are, they don't let the lower ones know what they're doing.
But if I can research it on the internet, so could they. And they are so intelligent, they should know.
Okay, hold on a second. I want, just hold on. 1139, do you have a comment or a question?
I was just going to, you know, reply to, like, your initial question. My understanding of what you asked was, you know, what can we do about it? I think, you know, what's important, you know, is we do have to build, you know, a strong foundation and, you know, and build up. And, like, one of the things I always like to harp about is, you know, strengthen the family and, you know, passing down lineage and legacy as that way that our kids and you know, we know who we are, we know where we come from, and putting the wealth that we gain, you know, internally into the family. I think by doing that, you know, it strengthens the core and allows for, you know, true power, you know, true independence. You know, you don't have to rely on, you know, this person or that person. I feel like based off of, you know, the passage that you was reading and like where that power comes from is that these people have to depend on it, you know, and I think by gaining true independence, and I think that true independence comes from them, you know, and being able to make sure we uplift ourselves through our family is the way to go.
Okay, I understand that, but a lot of people, these people who are so-called leaders, come out there and give these people a story like they're for them, they for their upliftment, and they're actually not. They're working behind the scenes to keep them down.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you.
Because
as a prime example,
it benefits them if they rise up and improve.
Right. I was going to say a prime example of that is when you look at the Breonna Taylor case and I believe, I forget what that guy's name, the black guy that was on TV talking about, I wake up every day thinking about Breonna Taylor, blah, 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 blah. And then he's inside of the courthouse when they have the hearing to see if they're going to charge the officer or not, you know, pushing not to charge the officer and not even as an option. You know? I mean, I think that's absolutely right. I mean, you know, we see clear examples of that, you know, right now, today, in open. You know, so I think what's really important is, you know, that not only that we are aware of it, but we got to call it out, you know, call it out for what it is. But at the end of the day, you know, we still have to be self-sustainable. You know, once we're self-sustainable, you know, can't no one stop you at that point. You know, because you don't need them. You don't have to rely on them. And I think that's what's really important.
Right. And one of the sources I got a lot of information on was from Steve Coakley, and he died in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And
he went
into the hospital, and he told people when he go in, because he did a lot of research, and he infiltrated, like got in some kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was worried about them murdering him. And they say that is exactly what happened when he went into the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
That they were going to kill him, and they did. Because all this information that he got, and he spent years researching and checking things out, and he put a lot of things out there that they didn't want out. So when you can't trust these people, because a lot of these so-called leaders are put in by white people, and that's why you see black people and they have these so-called leaders and nothing has ever changed, because they were doing their job well, because that's what they were supposed to do. So does anyone else have a comment or question? Dial 516-531-9540. So let me ask you, I know you said that people should, the leadership, or you should have a strong support at home. But a lot of people don't know what to do. They think these leaders, they come out here and tell them they can help them, they can do all these things, and nothing gets done.
Well, what about Benjamin Crump? They say he's a black boule leader.
I don't know.
And I found that on the internet. And they say they killed Steve Coakley because he was exposing him.
Yeah, in 2012.
Because he was.
Do you guys think that Bill Cosby, the thing that happened with Bill Cosby and like all that came out was because he did something to offend them?
Yeah, like trying to buy radio,
because if you do something
a TV
against them, they will, and they let you know that up front.
I want to be like
them. So, yes, if you do something, they'll destroy you.
So do you guys think, what's the guy, Tyler Perry, what about him? You think he's part of that? Hello?
I'm going to put it like this. I don't know if he has been recruited yet.
Who?
But he may have. I mean, you don't have to be recruited, but a lot of people do because they make offers to you that just you can't resist.
Doing the work of the devil.
If you make your dreams come true, then most a lot of people will go for it.
Yeah, I guess, you know, with them being a secret organization, how does all this information get out? You know, I guess that's one of the questions I have.
Okay. It's a secret organization, and how to sing it? Loose lips. When they go to recruit somebody, that person doesn't have to join just because they approach them.
Right.
So if they think
I guess,
somebody they won't.
Do you think that their reach is, you know, just here in the United States, or how far do you think they reach spread?
No, they have black chapters. Both, well, the Boule is black, basically. They have it all over the world.
Hmm.
Okay, are the gatekeepers
What?
I say, are the black gatekeepers part of the Black Boule?
They do call some of them gatekeepers, overseers. They have different names for them. And they did have to take an oath to protect and keep white supremacy in order to keep their riches.
Well, it's time to expose all these phony black people.
I'm sorry, black in the background. What?
I said it's time to go back exposing all these phony black people.
Oh, that's true. Does somebody have a radio or a TV or something on? Okay. Because I kept hearing stuff in the background. Okay. 12:33, do you have a comment or question? Hello, can you hear?
Yes.
I can hear, but somebody has a TV or something on in the background that they either need to mute their phone or do something.
Okay. Yes,
what's
my comment is that, I mean, it's really something nobody wants to talk about, nobody wants to believe it, but something that's probably true, like somebody mentioned before, somebody's going to think you're crazy for saying what you're saying. But it all makes sense if black people, we don't get anywhere and we have all these so-called leaders that just talk about making change, but nothing really changes. But is there a resolution? No, the resolution is probably just God. I don't think you can say, like here in the United States, for example, we could just take over white people. I mean, there are certain things we can do, but, I mean, it's so many gay people everywhere, like, they're going to be on the opposite side. I mean, they're going to have a lot of people with them. And like you see, homosexuality is promoted everywhere. It's on TV everywhere. They're teaching in school now. It's just everywhere to get everybody on their side. So I don't think that is just going to happen like that. I mean, it's probably going to be a small amount of people who is on the opposite end of what they stand
that
for.
That may be true. But they don't want the preservation of a black race. They want it to become extinct because with the homosexuality, they're not making babies. Therefore, they're not reproducing. And if you get enough of them, the numbers will drop.
I mean, I believe.
And the numbers become smaller and smaller.
True. I mean, and that's another thing. Like, black men, look how they treat black women. They, like, a lot of these celebrities, I see celebrities, they talk about black people, but they're having a baby by a white woman. But then you teach the kids to, you have a baby by a white woman. Then you teach your kids, you have mixed kids, okay? We can say they're black, okay? But you're teaching your, they're teaching their kids to date white people. So, I mean, they're just bringing their wealth back to the white race. That's what a lot of them do. So even
well,
though it might
actually,
be...
85% of black men marry black women. And, I mean, they just promote it more. And that's a fact. They just promote it more. They control the media and the media outlets. So that's what they're pushing. If you look at the commercials now, you would see a black woman with a white man a lot of times on a commercial, or a black man with a white woman. But it's rare if you see a black couple on there.
Right. And my next
images
question will
are
be
powerful.
Right. So my question would be, I know nobody probably has the exact answer to this. What about wealthy black men?
Like, who are they marrying?
Yeah.
I think they marry the ones that's in the environment that have close contact with, who they're surrounded with.
I mean, I guess at this point, like, the poor black people that aren't doing anything, I mean, they're going to throw them in prison.
A plan of the white man.
Yeah, maybe the ones
that...
That
was planned after slavery. They still wanted that free labor.
Mm-hmm.
And
also, going back to your question about leadership, how leadership are in these different organizations or whatnot, we have to be careful who we consider a leader. You know, I am very careful who they put out in front of me on that mass media. You know, you could be a leader. All of us could be a leader within our hearts as long as we trying to participate in different events, trying to plan and what have you. We all could be leaders. You know, we don't need a hype man to hype us up to do what we need to do for ourselves.
I agree.
Yeah. All them people they put in front of us, that's who they want us to look at. But not necessarily, we don't have to look at them. We don't have to follow them. You know?
Right, and a lot of people nowadays are looking at the new black media, as it is called, because they're calling people out. They're telling the truth about what's going on.
And
you see on mainstream.
Research. We have a platform. We're doing the research, and we're giving voices to people that necessarily don't get the voice to have a platform on their media.
Well,
we
how are some of these people going
to
know who's legit?
We have to support it more.
Hello?
So your question was, how are people going to know who's legit?
Yes.
You got to do your own research. You have to do, don't rely on information that you hear and call it the gospel.
Okay.
You have to go in and do your own research and read, and then you can form your opinion. You know what that makes us when we do that? Thinkers. That makes us thinkers.
I'm talking about to the people who are not well-read, do not have an inkling that any of this is going on. Somebody got to introduce them to this. So they can do their own research. If you don't know anything about anything, you can't look for it. If you don't know it exists.
Well, that's got to be on us to reach out and reach out to those who may not have a laptop or access to books or what have you. But we have to make sure that we give the proper and appropriate information that they could utilize to help themselves.
And probably got to start in the pulpit.
Maybe that's one of the issues. You know, maybe we have too many pulpits in our communities. We have too many. On one corner we have a pulpit, and another corner we have a liquor store. You know, maybe we have too many of them. Maybe we need more schools and community centers and what have you, where people could congregate and have these town hall meetings and have these planning sessions or what have you for different local regional areas. Maybe we have too many pulpits, but who said that they have our best interests? I'm not saying all of them do this. I'm just saying who said that they have our best interests at hand?
They don't. Sometimes they don't, because they're obligated to the federal government. About what they can
501c3, they can't be politically politically involved. But however, we do have pastors, we do have religious folks that run for office that are politically involved and is the pastor of a church.
And then you have some that will say something that is correct instead of playing into, shall I say, Boulay's hand. But they got to be identified.
I think, can you guys hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, go ahead.
I mean, I think, you know, honestly, it goes back to what I was saying, you know, initially when we talk about, you know, how do we get this message out? How do we decipher the truth from the, you know, the fiction? How do we, you know, spread the word and things of that nature? And I think what's really important, like I said before, is, you know, looking at the family. Because, I mean, let's just be realistic. You go back to the 1950s, 1940s, right? You have a strong black family, you know. At the end of the day, you didn't have people moving out of their parents' house immediately. You know, it was, you know, you had respect for your mother, you had respect for your father and things of that nature and their rules. But at the same time, you got to realize as well, you know, we had to get together. That was playing cards, playing dominoes, you know, not just, you know, the fun stuff, but there's a lot of lessons that are being learned. I know as a kid growing up, for me, I've always sat at the, you know, adults' table when they was playing games, you know, when they was playing spades, when they was playing dominoes, et cetera. And, you know, there was a lot of great conversation, a lot of great education that was going on there. And I think as long as we are relying on someone else to teach us, as long as we are relying on, you know, strangers, people we don't even know, to be our main source of information, we're always going to be lacking. You know, we're always going to be subjected, you know, to falsehood, you know, and to misinformation and into not just conspiracy, but like just, you know, people trying to trick us into acting in accordance to the way that they want, you know. So I think that's why I always, you know, when I look at things like this, I always say, you know, we have to start at home. You know, we have to make sure the family, and when I say family, I don't necessarily just mean, you know, my son and my daughter. I mean family as in my family, you know, my son, my daughter, you know, my sisters, my brothers, you know, my cousins, you know, and making sure our family stays strong and passing the information throughout our family. And as our family continue to grow and get bigger and bigger and bigger, we become more powerful, but not only are we becoming powerful, but we also have control of our own talk, the way we're taught. And I think that's what's really important because, like, you look at society nowadays, you know, you have a mother or a family or whatever the case may be, have a child, and they get a 6 months maternity leave, and the next thing you know, that child's going to daycare, you know, and we're relying on daycare to raise that child until they are old enough to go into preschool or kindergarten or whatever the case may be. Now we're relying on some teacher to teach our kids, you know, and in reality, the real information, like the real education, we got to make sure it's coming from home. You know, I think that's.
You know, someone asked me one day, you know, about a couple of years ago, when is the right time to teach a child, you know, about their identity, about their culture and stuff like that. You know what I say? As soon as they toilet train. As soon as you try to teach them how to toilet train, that's when you start teaching. I mean, especially today. You got 2-year-olds that know how to work a cell phone. That work know how to work a laptop. So if they know how to work a laptop and a cell phone, they can learn many other things.
That's 100% true. I mean, my daughter, you know, she's deaf and autistic, but, you know, she know how to scroll on the phone now. She know how to skip the ads on YouTube,
mm-hmm.
you know. So, I mean, you know, we can't limit ourselves. You know, that's what's important to do. We can't limit ourselves. We have to know that we are great. And we
As you said about 5 minutes ago, we have to stop having other cultures, relying on other cultures teaching our own children. We really do. You know, that's a major issue right there.
But I think it's just not just talking about other cultures. Like you said, you know, we're talking about the black lady, you know, you're a black lady, you know. That are out here spreading this information. So I think more important, not just of the culture, but we have to focus on at home. You know, we have to if a child has a strong foundation at home, when they go from that level. You know,
can you
speak
into the phone? We have a hard time hearing you.
You say what?
Can you speak into the phone? We have a hard time hearing you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, perfectly.
Yeah, so I was just saying, like, a child with that strong foundation, when they leave the house, it's harder to mislead and misguide that child that's already have that strong foundation from home. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, there's a lot of Uncle Toms out there. You know, there's a lot of black people that's going to look and sound and talk just like you and me that is very deceitful. There's snakes in the grass. You know,
yeah.
So I mean, even though we look at culture,
people
I think,
out for a dollar.
Exactly. You know, and that's why I keep specifying. I mean, when you look at you know Africa, you know, and you know before the slave trade was, you know, put on steroids and people would sit out to be in sugarcane fields and serve a white master. When you look at Africa, it was tribes. You know, they had the elders that was like that remembered stories that were passed along. They actually had a word for it. I forget the word that they had for these certain elders. Most of them were female. They were like the older wise woman of the tribe. But they would recall all the great legends and stories. And whenever one of those died, it was like they lost their library. They lost a piece of their library, you know. But what I thought was fascinating is that in these tribes, you know, it was very tight-knit. You know, one man from one tribe can go out into other parts of Africa or whatever the case may be. Somebody can come and tell him all types of false truths about his tribe, but he's like, no, that's not true. you know, or she could be like, no, that's not true, because they had that strong foundation. I think that's how we get back to our roots. That's what we need to do. We got to get back to our roots, and we got to not only just control the information that's coming through, but we got to ask questions. We got to question. Never be afraid to question anything. I mean, if you are anything, if someone tells you don't question it, that's the person you should be. You know, I think you should pose a question everything.
Be Sean still there?
So what? Yes, oh, I am. So what do you think we should do, and how should we vet these people going forward? Because they're not going to be wearing a badge saying, I'm coming here to sell you out.
I think instead of trying to vet these people and things of that nature, I think we should try to, you know, not be them, but be their leaders. I think, you know, instead of waiting for someone else to come along and taking on that mantle, I think we need to be creating our leaders to take on the mantle. And like I said, you know, if you got someone, you know, from, you know, that's trained from, you know, within the family that, you know, has that strong, you know, physical, spiritual, emotional foundation and is family oriented and with the mindset and goal of improving and strengthening the Black race, I mean, there you go. And we don't have to, you know, we can be that ourselves. You know, we're supposed to be creating those. You know, we can't rely on just some, you know, Uncle Tom down the street, you know, that, oh, because he got a degree, we listen to him, you know, or because he made some money here, we listen to him. We got to make sure we stay true to our culture and understand money isn't everything. You know, money is not everything. And you got to realize if you got somebody who's all about money all the time and they're not through the culture, then that's somebody that's going to sell you out for the right price.
Yeah, I agree. Does anybody else, hold on, 516-531-9540, does anybody else have a comment or question?
Okay, what do you think about that tuxedo ball?
That
the boule has every year.
Oh, the black and tan ball?
That black tie ball is called a tuxedo ball. And they have it just for their kids so they can get ahead.
Oh, continue.
Why can't we do some things like that for our own kids?
We can. I think we can.
Or are you talking about the cotillion or that or something else?
No, they have a ball for the children of the Boulets, the rich people. They have a private ball just for their children.
But I just want to say this. I don't think that all wealthy blacks are in the Boulet. I don't think all of the.
You have to be. She said. You don't really have to be extremely wealthy, but you got to be chosen to be there.
Black.
You have to be a top black. Either
you have to be chosen anyway to come.
Right.
Everybody's not rich. And say most of them do for their own. And then she said, oh, yeah, but some
of them
don't.
A lot of them are rich.
They say they don't let everybody know that they do for other people too, but they take care of their own first. But they don't let other people know what they're doing when they do it for people who are not in their select group.
Right. They recruit from the top blacks, as they call it, from like, they would go out and recruit that, like engineers, doctors, lawyers from like different fields.
Yeah, one of the doctors had on the internet, she had a hall of fame for her relatives dating back to slavery with pictures, and every last one of them, some of them were filthy rich, even doing slavery. And say they just, it was handed down from generation to generation, their wealth. And they keeping it going.
I mean, that's how wealth is created, you know. Wealth is created by being passed down, you know, giving the kids a head start. Yeah, I mean, that's why I feel like, you know, in order for us to be able to conquer that and to, like, actually make an ultimate change, we have to, I mean, we have to look at what works, you know, without having to be a sellout. You know, I don't think that, you know, you have to be a sellout or evil, you know, to be what this world describes as successful. I think you got to be smart. I think you got to be business savvy. And you got to be able to have people that you can trust. And that's why, you know, for me, like, I'm always going to say family, 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 you know. But, like, realistically, when you're looking at the outside world, you got to, you know, put people in situations, you know. Like, you know, someone asked you to borrow $20, right? You know, my rule when it comes to borrowing money is that, hey, I will never let you borrow anything ever again until you pay back what you owe. You know, I don't care if it's a penny, you know. And it's like we got to have certain types of standards for ourselves, and we got to put people in situations to show us who they truly are, you know. Like, that's the only way you're going to know who's really who, you know.
Well, don't you think part of the problem is people always look outside of themselves instead of looking – at themselves,
yeah.
Because people can be their own leaders.
Exactly. I mean, look. I mean, that's one reason why earlier this conversation I asked you about, you know, what was his name, Tyler Perry, because one of the things he talks about a lot is, you know, being his own man. You know, like they a lot of networks and things of that nature wanted to, you know, buy a lot of this material, and he just refused. Because he wanted ownership. He was like, I'm not giving up my ownership. I want all this stuff, all this right here is stuff I wrote that I created. And he gambled on himself, and he bet on himself, and he won. You know, now I don't know about any outside, I mean, obviously, you know, no one person can do it by themselves. You got to have a team. You know, you got to have, you know, a foundation, you know, because one person can only do what one person can do. You know, as you grow your team, that's when, you know, you're able to accomplish so much more, you know. And I think, you know, we have to grow our team, but not just grow our team, but we have to choose our team wisely.
Right. And also, I want to mention that, like, they had, like, John Johnson and all them and Earl Graves. Like, they also were talking about the people that was, like, Jet Magazine, Essence, and all them, and Ebony. They were part of it. And they were talking about the advertising, how it was a lot of white people that advertised in their magazine. And it was the reason behind that, because they were also saying that they had to get permission for their magazine. For like,
I got a question. If all this is true and fact, how are we going to, when we were talking some of the other shows and subscribing to black owned businesses? When they're spearheaded, all their naming are the ones that we thought were black-owned. So what are we to do? Become owners of our own selves?
Yeah.
I mean, we
have to start new ownership of business for black people that we know are strictly black-owned, because it's by this, we won't know.
I mean, just like BET, everybody knows now that BET is no longer black-owned. I mean,
no.
It's not secret. It's public knowledge.
Right. We know that.
Okay, and just like the others.
But They need to, somebody needs to put it on the internet or something where people can see who's who and who is not.
Well, you know, they're not going to allow that's too much. That's too much information out there. That's too going to be too readily accessed. You know, the powers that be will never allow, you know, that type of clarity to, you know, come out. That would completely undo them. They would go to war for that.
I mean, those people sworn allegiance
right
to these people. They basically
right
gave their soul to these people. So I don't think they can ever come back from that. And if they try, those people are going to take care of it. They're going to handle
mm-hmm
it. They're going to have a downfall. Because they will do it.
I think
no, I agree.
I think the neighborhood newsletter where you type up some stuff where you live at and pass it out. Somebody else all around the country passing out the same information to get it to the people that need to know.
I mean, you can find it on YouTube. I mean, it's out there. It's on the internet. I mean, there are people talking about it.
Yeah, but there's a lot of people who don't have internet ever, have ever had it. That's why they're having a problem with some of them in school, because they are depending on other people to furnish them with that information.
Well, I think if people keep digging, just like those white people keep doing and stealing stuff from Africa and Egypt, like they keep digging, and every time they keep digging over there, it keeps getting blacker and blacker. But I think the information is out there. It's not exactly hidden. You just kind of know where to look. Or shall I say, what to type in?
Mm-hmm. So, well, how did you become aware of this? What did you? How? What was the your first time like becoming aware of it?
For me, actually, I heard of it a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And matter of fact, I heard it from, who was it? I forgot who told me. They told me to look it up. I forgot who told me. I was out of town, and I was talking to a friend, and they were talking about it. And I hadn't heard anything about it, and they told me to check it out. So I did.
And did that friend have a follow-up with you to ask you if you looked that stuff up?
Yes.
That's, I think, you know, going back to earlier in this segment when we were talking about how we pass the information and how we spread this wisdom and this knowledge and, you know, really try to open up some people's minds, there you go. You know, I think,
okay,
you know, that's
like,
very important. Yeah.
Okay, just like CNN and other media outlets, they choose who they want you to see to come
mm-hmm
on. They choose what topics you will be hearing about.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not going to tell you about what's really
I'm not
going
talking
on
about the yeah, yeah. I'm not talking about the news. I'm talking about us. It has to be a grassroots. I mean,
I know,
you're talking about
people
the people who are
CNN and all these other news stations, and they believe whatever they hear on there.
Right.
So if they don't,
I mean,
and some of them have an attitude like, well, I didn't see it on the news. Wasn't nobody talking about it. So the point of it is, when you rely strictly on Main Street media, you're not going to get the real story. You're going to get the story that they were told to give you only. That's why you got to go to the new black media platforms, like Fly
like
Newbie and
now
Queen. Right.
Oh, you saying we can't
Dr.
listen
Boyd
to Al Jackson and what's that girl's name? Karen Hunter and Well, Karen Hunter, I think it's for real. She brings up a lot on the black urban station.
Right, and black people have to take responsibility and educate their own selves about what is going on instead of letting all these white media outlets tell them what's going on. I mean,
now I will have to critique Al Sharpton because I found some holes in him when people call in. And he'll say, oh, I got to check that out before I comment on that. Now I know what direction he might be going in or is.
I mean, people need to look at other sources.
I got all
so,
my...
obviously, Al Sharpton is a front man. Like a lot of other people.
Oh, they always said Dr. Martin Luther King was not the chosen one for the black race. The government chose him because they could control him. And the one that was supposed to have been over the black leader, they got rid of.
Right. And just look at the NAACP, Urban League, and things like that. It was white people behind those organizations.
Still is.
Exactly. And then people wonder why, oh, they're not helping us, they're not doing nothing for us, because they're not for you, to help you. That's just to give you something to think, well, they have my back when they don't.
Well, they should know how to plan a march, though, if they don't know how to do nothing else. Did I give them that?
They make
you
nonviolent.
50 years, they haven't gotten a thing.
And you're marching nonviolent, so you're not going to get anything.
That's true.
Definitely.
True. You look at these white people, they're out there with their guns.
They don't come out non-violently, but they
No, they come out very violently, and it's their right.
Or white folks, what they do, they put in office who they think they're going to do something for them.
And if they don't, they're losing get them too.
They try to control the businesses in their areas.
Yeah, that's what we have to do. You know, that's what we have to do. I mean, like, I know when we were talking about the presidential election and stuff.
I was listening to this brother speak last week. He said, you know, there's nothing wrong studying with the white man because the white man's successful. We got to use some of their tools for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
They're good in corporations. They're good in businesses. They're good at taking over and stuff. We got to use some of that. Ourselves.
They good at looting. They good at stealing. They good at murdering.
I'm not saying
they're good at arson. They're the best arsonists, the best thieves. They don't want you in the neighborhood. The fire department gonna burn you down.
Well, thank you for listening to the show.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on